You can do YouTube from StreamYard, but you can't do Twitch. Or at least that's the way it used to be.
That's, oh, man. Well, why do you think Twitch changed their can't stream on multiple platforms thing?
They were losing people to Kick and other platforms, YouTube specifically.
Mm.
We covered Kick, it pretty extensively at work.
Mm. Isn't Kick like, you know, an explicit program now?
Kick is not great.
Mm. Didn't know that. That's crazy. That's wild.
They pay people to stream there, and it's not great.
Okay. All right. Let's get the show up and running. That's not the thumbnail. Where's the thumbnail?
The thumbnail's not. I didn't get that far, Ferris.
I didn't know this.
I didn't know you started the stream.
I cold open. You don't know. It just drops on you.
Well, whatever. I'll upload for the close.
All right, guys. What's good? What's happening, everybody? It's your boy, Ferris Mudana. And welcome to another great episode of The Open Table. This week, we'll be talking about the hottest story in the land of entertainment. Cody Rhodes finishing his story at WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia against Roman Reigns. Will he, though? That's the question. It's the cliffhanger. But today, I'm going to break it down. Today, I'm breaking it down with someone familiar to the game. Someone also familiar to the game, but without further ado, let me introduce you to my right-hand person that I count on, the goose to my maverick, the Ben Foster to my Chris Pine.
It is Adelia. Wow.
How you doing, Adelia?
I'm doing good, Ferris. I was not expecting the Ben Foster to hear Chris Pine tonight.
Goose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. But Adelia, we're not alone.
We're not alone tonight.
We are with fellow LGRer.
R.
My other co-host.
We don't have a name for us, so.
We don't have a name for us. We kind of don't have a name.
Just the crew.
Just the crew.
Yeah.
We just streamed some NFL football earlier in the day at 3 o'clock on our entertainment channel. So go like and subscribe over there. It is the one, the only. It is Vegas' favorite son, Caleb Ochoa. Caleb, how are you, my man?
I'm great, man. Like you said, wrapped up that good stream we had earlier. So feeling good. Ready to get into a different topic, another topic. And while I just don't talk about football, I talk about a lot of other things that interest me. And our subject today is one that been a fan of for a long time.
He's multifaceted, folks. He's multifaceted. He also likes romance novels.
No.
Okay. No. That's a lie. I can't see that one.
That's a lie. Okay, that's a lie. But he loves to read, ladies. Shout out to the ladies, if anyone's watching, looking for a man who likes to read. He's right there.
Shout out to the chat. Say hello to Brodney.
Hey, what's up,
hello to Jeremy?
What up?
Brodney says Rock refuses to help Roman. Cody wins Rock versus Roman at SummerSlam.
Ooh.
Interesting. Jeremy says I've never heard Caleb talk about wrestling, so this should be interesting.
Yes, 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 it is. So, guys, before we get into modern day wrestling and the modern day story, right? I want to talk about our origins of falling in love with the art of wrestling, and just over the storyline of. Let's start with our guest, Caleb. When was the first time you ever watched wrestling, and what grabbed you, what hooked you in?
Oh, I mean, it goes back to when I was probably 4 years old, late 90s. Obviously, that the big era between the Monday Night Wars of WCW and WWF. So I got right into it right really early. Like, that was like one of the first things I watched it because my dad would watch it. My older brother would watch it. So I was right there, very young, watching some WCW because I was a WCW guy. We rarely watched WWF. I just fell in love with the big, huge muscle guys. you know, just causing havoc in the ring. And that's why my favorite one was Goldberg. Just seeing him just crush people in just a few seconds. And that's what made me just get excited. You know, I love seeing that. I love seeing, you know, obviously I'm always a football fan. You know, he was a former football player going in there and just tackling someone. And that was his main move, was a tackle. So that just connected me on multiple levels. You know, just, you know, him being, you know, a signature move being a football move. And that's what made me fall in love with it early on. And, you know, I was a big fan all the way up until probably middle school. Because then, I got too cool for it. You know, I was like, that's for kids now. So, you know, I stopped watching it probably throughout middle school. Then I came back to it, like, in high school. I started, because I started like, well, I don't care no more. Now I'll switch back on. And I just randomly started watching it again. And now I was hooked on it again, because I was more of the Ruthless Aggression era, at least the end of it. So, and I was a fan of it for a
while. Ruthless Aggression!
Yeah. So I was a fan for a while. I was dead. I was watching every show, all the Monday Night, ECW, SmackDown. I watched every single show that I could. And then it got into the PG era, and it was just awful. It was awful. It was an awful era, one of the worst.
It's a lot of money. It made a lot of money, though.
It's probably the worst era in wrestling history. And it was garbage. And so I just started watching TNA. I still wanted to watch wrestling. Yeah, I didn't want to watch the garbage that WWE was putting out. TNA was so much better, because it wasn't. But at least they had like decent wrestlers.
It was different, man.
It was different. They had like AJ Styles, who was the best wrestler at that time, in the game. So at least they had him, who was one of my favorite.
Yes, Rodney.
That's John Cena era, and he's the big reason why I did not like the era, because I hate John Cena as a wrestler. I hate his character. Never liked him. Always thought he was overrated. Terrible.
I know why he couldn't wrestle, though. So the problem is, here's what the problem with John Cena was.
Yeah.
John Cena could wrestle, but the issue is he always followed instructions too much, in the sense where, so he tore his bicep. Remember when he tore his bicep and he came back for like Royal Rumble, when he tried to do like the hip throw on Randy Orton, right? So when he tore his bicep afterwards, Vince McMahon, unfortunately, he told him, "Hey man, I can't have you not wrestling, because you're my cash cow. Like, you make me money hand over fist. So this is what you're going to do in wrestling wings, so you'd never get injured." He basically told him, like, you can only do 5 moves. And John Cena didn't fight back. That's always been my issue with John Cena. He always tells these stories of like, "Oh, I should have turned heel against Edge at New Year's Resolution. Edge should have won." I'm like, then why didn't you do it? It's because Vince told him no, and he said, "Yes, Vince." And then he should have fought more for more creative evolution. And that's my biggest issue with John Cena. Continue.
So I started watching TNA, and then I fell off of TNA when they started switching channels, you know, and I couldn't really find it anymore. So that
it was on Pop, then it was on Access, and then it went back to, and then it went
still on Access.
Now it's back on Access. No, it was on Access, then it came back to Access.
Yeah, so I stopped watching it because I just couldn't find it. So then I just completely stopped watching wrestling altogether for a while. And then I kind of loosely followed it just through social media, saw the highlights of stuff, just casually, and that's how I kept up. I kind of came back to it when AJ Styles did make his debut in WWE. That's kind of that Royal Rumble made me get back into it a little more, where I would at least watch the Royal Rumble, and I would at least watch WrestleMania every year.
Same.
Even though I wouldn't watch the regular shows. And then I did that for a few years, and just recently, probably in the last year or so, I think they've upgraded a lot of what they've been doing in WWE. I think a lot of the wrestlers are really good right now. I think the storylines are good right now, and I've gotten really into it, and I've been watching. I watch it at the gym a lot of time, you know, usually with no sound, but I can see, because they always have it at the gym. So I just started watching it, while it's on. And that's what got me back into it. So I've been watching it because it is on at the gym every, you know, when I at the times that I go, and I'm able to watch, you know, Raw and SmackDown at that time. And so I've been definitely into it. I just think the production has changed, you know, because they've obviously had their changes in management.
Fired Kevin Dunn.
And so I've been liking it. I've been really liking it. I've liked this current storyline that they've been going with, like the Rock that the Rock is back. And yeah, I mean, I'm really excited what's going to happen to WrestleMania.
All right, man. Same, bro. I'm with you, man. I'll tell you my story in a bit, but I want to know the story of the incomparable, the wonderful, the majestic Adelia. Because I know something special because, you know, a little pretense, you know, you did an assignment that was kind of like mobile with you, like, that made you watch predominantly men's television. It made you watch wrestling, and then the men had to watch predominantly women's.
All right, let me tell the story first.
Yeah, you do your thing.
My senior year of high school, I took a TV and film class, and we had a teacher who decided that we needed to understand advertising as part of television, and so he assigned.
I agree. It was a good, yeah,
the
good,
women good, yeah. He needed, and we also needed to understand why certain programs were sent to certain demographics.
Mm-hmm.
And so he assigned the girls in the class all to watch professional wrestling, so WWF as it was at the time, and WCW. And the guys in the class all had to watch like Dawson's Creek and Felicity and shows like that. The guys were not happy about this. The girls were not happy about this. But I watched professional wrestling for a year, my senior year of high school. I don't remember a ton about it. I remember it being the storyline in WWF was Stephanie McMahon was supposed to marry Test, but she actually ended up being married to Triple H.
I remember that one. That one was crazy. I didn't fully understand it when I was young. I'm like, is that how people get married? I didn't know how that's how people get
No.
I was so confused as a youngster. I was so confused. I was like, this is crazy.
That was crazy. I don't remember specific storylines in WCW, but I remember Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and Sting especially stuck out. We'll talk about Sting a little more in a little bit. But then when my senior year was over, I stopped watching after a while because I just couldn't keep up with it. Like, it wasn't that overly interesting to me. I remember watching Nitro. Was it Nitro? The night Shane McMahon showed up on there.
Oh.
And then that was when they had bought WCW. And then I pretty much quit watching after that. And then I didn't start watching again.
Bad rest test.
Yeah.
Bad rest test.
And then I didn't start watching again until CM Punk showed up on AEW. And that crowd reaction to him showing up on AEW Rampage made me go, okay, I want to see what this is all about. I'd heard of AEW. I'd tried to watch a little bit of clips here and there, but it's hard to find AEW if you don't watch it when it's actually on TV because it's not streaming anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I never caught up with it, but that CM Punk moment made me go, okay, I want to see what this is about. And then I've watched AEW consistently ever since. And Dagan, our friend Dagan, shout out to Dagan, has gotten me into New Japan Pro Wrestling as well, which I watch all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you, Ferris?
So yeah, so you know, like it's the same way of baseball for me, right? You know, I moved to America and you know, trying to immerse myself in American culture. One of the main things was, you know, baseball and pro wrestling, right? You know, back in the day, we would watch like old highlight tapes of, you know, like Roddy Piper. So like, you know, when we were in Yemen, you know, overseas, we would watch the really old stuff, right? Because they finally, like, you know, finally old stuff. Like, we watched Hogan, we watched Piper, Macho Man, Jake the Snake, like the really like 80s, 90s old stuff, Bret Hart. And then when I came to America, I started watching early 2000s Raw and SmackDown when SmackDown was on a, I think, Caleb, you remember this, when it was pre-taped on the CW.
Yeah.
It was on the CW on Thursday nights.
What so was on Thursday CW? Night. Was it called, still called CW back then?
Yeah, it was the CW.
Was it CW or
I think it was like
UPN. No, it was on UPN. It was on UPN.
Yeah.
UPN, yes. UPN. CW, it's when they merged, So it was on UPN every Thursday on UPN. I would watch Girlfriends, and then I would watch Smacked.
Of course you did.
So I'd watch Girlfriends, and like it was UPN was like my one stop shop. Like there was Girlfriends, there was SmackDown, there were the Parkers, you name it. It was I watched it all. The Game, which was that. So I, you know, fell in love with it, right? And with me, the way my brain works is when I fall in love with something, I go back to come forward, right? When I became an NBA basketball fan in 2010, I went back to come forward. Same thing with WWE. I went back, right? So I went all the way back. I went to Bruno Sammartino. YouTube was in its early stages. So a lot of stuff was on YouTube that legally is no longer on YouTube anymore, because no one really understood what YouTube was. So like I would go on YouTube, look up random highlights, and it's like a random WWE match that WWE hadn't taken down because they don't fully understand how to, now they know how to take down stuff. But back then you could find anything on YouTube. You could find anything on the internet. So I went back, and then I came forward, and I was the target demographic for John Cena. I was like, I want them shirts. Give me all them shirts. But that John Cena wasn't the John Cena I fell in love with. The John Cena I fell in love with was Word Life, Doctor of Thugonomics.
Why would you?
I was a fan of Eminem, right? So I'm a cool Eminem. Like we have an Eminem cosplayer, basically. But my favorite wrestler, though, and I think it was underrated, it was Kurt Angle. It was Kurt Angle, because I always found it crazy that the part of his story was he won that gold medal, right? And they would say, oh, he won it on his with a broken freaking neck. And I'm like, and then I assumed like, oh, that's crazy, right? And then they showed you his neck scan at the Olympics, and you see the hairline fracture in his neck. And you're like, oh, that's real. So then that's when I was like, yo, this stuff is real. Yeah, it is real. It's real. And I fell in love with it. Evolution. Evolution was so cool. And I loved Evolution. I was the weird kid that was Batista was my guy.
And hell yeah. Batista was my guy too. Like
I love Batista.
I like the big hulking guys. Like yeah, that was my thing.
But here's the thing too. I was the weird kid that preferred SmackDown over Raw. No. I watched SmackDown. If I missed Raw, I didn't care. I watched SmackDown because on SmackDown, it was JBL, Eddie Guerrero. That's my man. Eddie Guerrero was my guy. Latino Heat. His famous, you know, I think everyone knows his promo, his addicted promo, where he's telling Brock Lesnar that I'm addicted to, like, he's addicted to this. And he just oozes the charisma. Like, Vince McMahon didn't really like small guys, small wrestlers. He loved Eddie Guerrero, because you could not love Eddie Guerrero. So it was Eddie Guerrero, Batista, John Cena was on there, Undertaker, Chris Benoit, Edge.
He's good.
Edge, Rey Mysterio. So like Rey Mysterio and Eddie were my guys. When they were beefing, it tore my heart apart. And then when Eddie said, I'm this man's son, I'm this man's father, and they fought over Dominic, that was emotional torture. That was emotional torture for me. But yeah, man, Edge and the Hardys, you know, seeing Jeff Hardy just, you know, on a routinely basis, try to kill himself, you know, jumping off anything known to man, you know.
And with drugs.
That too. That hurt. But I remember the Raw where he hits Randy Orton, and Randy Orton falls into this little area, and he climbs up a scaffolding, and he jumps off the scaffolding, and you just hear a boom, and they're being carted away, and you're like, and all you see is this. All you see him do this is like he holds up his sign, and he's like, and everyone just like loses their mind. Like, yeah, I'm still here. But then, you know, I kind of got like you know, like y'all, man, I kind of like dipped away from it. I still followed it when John Cena moved to Raw when they drafted him during the draft. It was all cool and all. I still watched SmackDown because I was a big fan of Edge. And Edge on SmackDown was a menace to society. You know, decides to date Vicky Guerrero and then cheats on Vicky Guerrero with Alicia Fox, who played the wedding planner. He's always screwing somebody. Yeah, always screwing somebody over. Edge was just a menace to society. You can see why. Like, he was just a menace. He was just a menace, and I loved every minute of it. Rey Mysterio is my guy. Love Rey Mysterio to this day. Forever Rey Mysterio. I wanted one of his masks growing up, but I could never wear his mask because he had the cross in the middle of his mask. You know, I'm not Christian, right? I can't wear the cross, you know, it's disrespectful. So I could never buy one of his masks. I was very upset. But now I can buy his new ones because it's just a mask, which is cool. But then one night, me and my brother were like channel surfing on Thursday. This is when SmackDown moved to Sci-Fi, which were there on Tuesdays or Fridays. So we're like, you know, we're set, you know, channel surfing. You know, I don't know if you youngsters know what channel surfing is. You know, you just get a remote.
And you
just,
are a youngster.
You know, I
first, I don't think I, you're allowed to say that.
Well, I'm saying it for all of us, guys. You know, I used to channel surf, okay? Calm it down. So I'm channel surfing, right? So me and my brother were like, all right, man, let's check what's on Spike TV. So we check on Spike TV, right? And we're like, it's like wrestling's on. It's in the middle of a match. And you're like, what the hell is this? Like, what the hell's going on? So I see Kurt Angle wrestling in a match. And I'm like, yo, that's Kurt Angle. So I assume we're watching WWE. Like, I assume, I'm watching WWE. He's wrestling a dude with his face painted. With like his wife, like white face paint, weird looking things. I'm like, who the hell is he wrestling? So he is wrestling some random dude, you know, with his face painted, you know, with his white face paint, black little markings. Find out it's Sting.
I love how you just called Sting some random dude.
Yeah, I mean, I similarly found TNA that way too. Like, just like, I see Booker T.
You see, yeah, you're like, you're like, yeah, you're like, what's going on here?
It's
crazy. No, because here's the thing, Adelia, right? So, when I said I went back. So I also watched like Jim Crockett stuff and AWA stuff, and so I know Sting has blonde haired. Yeah, blonde-haired, tap like,
yeah,
United States flag paint, right?
Yeah,
I didn't watch WCW, so I never saw the metamorphosis of Sting into the Crow.
Sting.
Like, I never saw that. So he's fighting some dude, and I'm like, and then I hear Don West, like, Skin with the Scorpion Death Drop. I'm like, Sting. What do you mean Sting? That's not Sting. Oh, Sting. So I'm watching him and Kurt Angle wrestle. And I'm like, I thought this was WWE. Why is the ring not a square? I'm confused. They had the six sides. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, this is crazy. And then, you know, I started watching it every Thursday and, you know, and became a big fan of this redneck wrestler named AJ Styles, man. The phenomenal one. I loved him.
Yeah, because they did the old X Division match. At the top, right?
So I started watching old TNA matches where there's the one TNA match where home dude is like, he walks across the cage and then does a Hurricane Rana off the cage. And it's awesome. And then there's the famous match with Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe. So I just fell in love with Sting. Fell in love with AJ Styles. I knew I loved AJ Styles because of one. He goes into a program with Booker T, and if you know me, you'll find no bigger Booker T fan than right here. I rooted for Booker T when he was King Booker. You know what I mean? When he was cheating and you know, like that's my guy. And I found it. I was rooting for the guy in the program against Booker T. That's when I knew AJ Styles was special because I never root against Booker T. So when AJ Styles like jumped him while Booker T was wearing like a robe and he starts whooping his behind, I'm like, yeah, get him. And I remember when he left, I was distraught. He left, but then he came back as in like a more rugged person. Then he told Dixie Carter to screw off And he like drove off with the belt, and then he showed up in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He like disappeared for a couple years, and I found out he joined Bullet Club, you know, when Bullet Club used to be cool. It's no longer, I don't think it's cool no more, but that's just me.
No, I hate Bullet Club right now.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, Bullet Club peaked when AJ Styles was there. They peaked with AJ, and then after AJ,
Bullet Club is currently being run by the son of Fit Finlay.
No.
It's not good.
Absolutely not.
Not good at all.
But yeah, man, and I love TNA because it was different, right? It was six sides. The X Division, they cared about the small guys, so the X Division's matches were always awesome. Someone's always flying around. The Ultimate X match.
Suicide was dope.
Suicide was Homicide. Remember that? So Suicide was Homicide from LAX. Yeah. You know, so shout out to LAX, him and Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, I loved Hernandez.
Yeah, him and Hernandez. Hernandez just fly. That was amazing. And then my favorite tag team of all time is Beer Money.
Oh, yeah.
Beer Money!
Money!
It was, you know, it was, so it's James Storm and Bobby Roode. They were one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And then another stable that I quite enjoyed in TNA, TNA had a lot of good stables, was the British Invasion. The British Invasion with Nick Aldis, who was named Brutus Magnus. Doug Williams, this like this old school wrestler who'd been wrestling for like years, like an indie guy. Everyone respected.
He was like a William Regal type of
wrestler. Yeah. And then Big Rob Terry. Rob Terry was just like this massive human being. He was just like just a massive human being. Yo, the Beautiful People, that was a good stable. You know,
Beautiful People.
Yeah, Angelina Love.
That's probably the best. I would say that's my favorite women's stable of like any wrestling.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Even when they added Madison Rayne, right? Yeah. Adia, did you watch TNA? You didn't watch TNA, did you, Adia?
I didn't watch TNA, no.
Nah, yeah, you. Oh my God,
you're talking about a bunch of stuff I know nothing about.
Yeah, it was awesome, Adelia. They actually cared about women. They actually let the women wrestle.
I've heard that their Knockouts division has been the best for the longest time.
When it was the Beautiful People versus Tara, that was a great team. I love this.
Gail Kim. Her name was Karma? No, it was Karma in WWE.
He was Awesome Kong.
Kong is cool.
Because, you know, if you think about it now, that's kind of a bad name. Yeah. Not a very good name.
Yeah, but her and Gail Kim.
Her and Gail Kim had great matches. They had the Motor City Machine Guns. Chris Sabin. Cool. Alex Shelley. They started
still
in TNA. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was just pretty good. Who else? Frankie Kazarian, Chris Daniels. But I think my favorite guy was, besides AJ Styles, it was Jay Lethal.
Really?
It was Jay Lethal. You didn't watch Jay Lethal on TNA.
He is in AEW now and he is horrible.
Yeah, nah. Jay Lethal in TNA.
When he did the Macho Man.
Black Machismo? Yeah.
I've never heard about that.
Black Machismo was off the hook. But one of my favorite ones is he gets into a promo off with one of the greatest promo persons of all time. Him and Ric Flair, Adelia, have a promo off. And he beats Ric Flair. He beats him. He beats Ric Flair. Ric Flair was managing this stable, again, it's called Fortune, which was AJ Styles, Frankie Kazarian, Desmond Wolf, or you know him as Nigel McGuinness.
Nigel McGuinness, I love.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was like five people, but it was Fortune. So they it was supposed to be four, but they had five. So it was kind of like a play on the Four Horsemen. But it was five instead of four, which made no sense. Because Matt Morgan showed up, you know, the blueprint Matt Morgan. Yeah. They shot all their stuff at Universal Studios in Orlando. And there was one episode, I think, Caleb, you may remember this. You remember when they just brawled all over Adelia. They just started brawling everywhere. And it spilled out into the theme park.
Oh, God.
It spilled out into the theme park. I think there was one time where they cut to a fans in the theme park. And they're shocked. They're shocked because they're seeing two grown men beat each other up. beat each other up. And you're like, but the barricade's saving them, so they make sure they don't get sued. And then, you know, it was pretty awesome. Abyss was great. And ideally, if you want to talk about you know, like how like street fights are not as good as they used to be.
Oh, that street fight tonight on SmackDown was horrible.
The street fights in TNA with Abyss, your body's gonna get tacked up.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a lot of tacks on your body.
It was called the Monster's Ball.
Monster's Ball.
Oh, I've heard of it. I think Impact/TNA still does that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Joseph Parker, Abyss, which you know is crazy about Abyss. So he stopped being Abyss, right? For like a couple Joseph of years. Park. He was Joseph Park. And he was also good. Like he was good too. And then, so the thing was, people figured out like, no, you're Abyss. So they had to like reconfigure him to come back as Abyss. Like, you're Abyss. He's like, no, I'm not Abyss. I'm Abyss's attorney. I'm not Abyss. And then he's kind of like playing like a double personality type thing. And then one day his brain just unlocks and he just like starts whooping people's behinds and throwing people through barbed wire. So like it was barbed wire, tacks, flaming tables. But the reason I love TNA was because this had the greatest version of Kurt Angle I've ever seen in my entire life. Here's the problem with this is Kurt doesn't look back at his tenure at TNA fondly because he was high all the time. And I'm not talking about like marijuana. I'm talking about Percocets. You know, like he's
and
on
a
pills.
Lot of them were.
Yeah. Like he was on Percocets left and right. And some of the stuff he would do, you're like, yo, you're insane. But he didn't care. He once did a moonsault off of a stage, and then he once dove off stage and took out Abyss. Him and Abyss had a program. And then he was just a lunatic. There was a storyline where he finds out his wife is cheating on him with Jeff Jarrett. But in reality, they had already divorced. So it was kind of like him and I think his wife and Jeff Jarrett had been married for like a year.
Yeah.
But Jeff Jarrett. Well, Jeff Jarrett created the company.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I love TNA, man. TNA was awesome.
Main Event Mafia, Aces and Mains.
Main Event Mafia was awesome. It was awesome. I didn't like Kevin Nash. I don't like Kevin Nash. I'm not a big fan of Kevin Nash. Personally, I just think Kevin Nash, when he's on the mic, I want to like stick a needle in my eye.
Watching Kevin Nash with Scott Hall in WCW, but like I don't really have much time for Kevin Nash now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it was Scott Hall was the best part of them. Like, no offense to you.
Yeah,
like
he was.
Like, Kevin Nash was as interesting as wet toilet paper. Scott Hall was
definitely very cool.
Scott Hall was so cool. An entire race of human beings said, you know what? Sure, you're Cuban. It's fine with us. You know, we don't care. Like, you know. Like,
that's awful.
Yo, when I found out he wasn't
Cuban. Al Pacino wasn't Cuban either, so.
Yeah, Al Pacino wasn't Cuban either.
I know. That's also awful.
Yeah. Yo, man. When I found out continue.
I was going to say, let's move on to maybe some more recent topics since we're already a half an hour into the show.
I'm sorry. I got... Don't talk wrestling with me. I'll talk all day.
We've had long conversations about it.
It's awesome. I love wrestling. So now the modern day guys. It starts actually in 2014, actually, when a young man named Cody Rhodes decides to not renew his contract with WWE, and says, "You know what, guys? I'm gonna go indie." And he became the hottest ticket in the indie scene. Running, he does indie shows left and right, showed up on TNA once or twice, became a part of Ring of Honor once or twice, showed up in Japan once or twice
for a while.
Yeah,
showed
up, and then he showed up in Japan, part of Bullet Club with the Young Bucks and their Super Kick Party, friends with Adam Cole and the Elite, which is Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. But it all started where he said, you know what, guys. I'm going to do something my daddy did.
William Harold, no one wants Stardust.
I kind of want Stardust. Because here's the thing about it. You know, here's the thing about Cody Rhodes. He hated that character.
Uh-huh.
Towards the end of it, he hated it so much. But he was so good and so committed to the role. The man can do anything. The man could do anything. In WWE, he was dashing. He was broken. He was stardust. He was everything. He was legacy. Love him, man. Just I love every... I was always a big fan of him when he showed up. I'm a massive fan of Dusty Rhodes. I love Dusty Rhodes because the little plumber's son. You know what I mean? I am a shopkeeper's son. We're blue-collar people. You know, we work every day. And that's what made Dusty Rhodes my favorite. And spawns of Dusty Rhodes, I've been a big fan. I love Gold Dust. And I love Cody Rhodes. And Cody Rhodes bet on himself. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do something with my dad did. I'm going to make a promotion. And it starts by making a pay-per-view.
Yeah, all in.
All in.
Perhaps where the most wins. Important wrestling pay-per-view of all time.
Exactly. Where he wins the 10 pounds of gold. The title is Father War. The title Harley Race War. The title Ric Flair War. Now you can edge it in history that Cody Rhodes is a former NWA world champion.
It was like his daddy. Easy when he used the sledgehammer on, you know, Triple H's throne that he had.
That was really thing. Yeah, that was very
mean. It's kind of a shot across the bow, saying yeah, you know he bet on himself and he won. So Adelia, Cody Rhodes, AEW, you're the AEW fan here. I don't regularly watch AEW. Sometimes I miss WWE. So AEW, when it first popped up and came out, Cody Rhodes, well, you're like, oh my god, an alternative to WWE, you know.
Well, yeah, when I first got back into it, I was like, fantastic, there's an alternative to WWE, because by then I'd heard enough about Vince McMahon to know I never wanted to watch WWE again. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Cody is great. His last match in AEW was a ladder match against Sammy Guevara for the TNT title that is insane, and one of the best ladder matches I've ever seen. I understand why he left. As much as is known, like, he had a personal issue and he wanted to go back to WWE, and so he did. But he was great in AEW. He did sort of box himself in. He did a stipulation that if he lost this match against Chris Jericho, then he would never contend for the AEW World Championship again, and he lost, so he was out of the World Championship picture in AEW. And they tend to hold to stipulations like that pretty good in AEW, so he never challenged for the AEW World Championship again. He was the first TNT champion. He did some things that were super cringe, like his gender reveal with Brandy. Like, I didn't understand why that had to be on TV, but it was pandemic era wrestling, so he's an EVP of the company and he wanted to do it, so they did it. He's a better fit, I think, in WWE than he was in
absolutely
AEW. He's got more of that vibe, and it's very different vibes. Like, I've heard people say you should like all wrestling, and that you don't have to prefer one to the other. Well, I much do.
I disagree with that, because you can like all wrestling, but you can have a preference.
Yeah, you can definitely have a preference.
Absolutely.
But Cody's great, and let's sort of talk about Cody and the WrestleMania thing last year. I can't believe they didn't have him beat Roman last year.
That made my blood boil. That made my blood boil.
I watched WrestleMania specifically to watch Cody beat Roman last year. I did too. And it didn't happen.
I watched the WrestleMania before that to see him show up against Seth Rollins. I knew he was showing up.
We watched that together too.
Yeah. I knew he was showing up. Everyone knew he was showing up. And I still lost my mind. Because sometimes it doesn't matter if you spoil something in wrestling. Still seeing it, you're still losing your mind. Not everyone can have the Matt and Jeff Hardy showing up at Orlando, because that was insane.
That was insane. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I think Cody Rhodes is one of the most important figures in wrestling history because of the fact that he came together with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Tony Khan and founded AEW, which was the first, you know, major competitor in a long time. TNA obviously was a major competitor back in the day, but it had diminished by a long shot by the time AEW came around. It was the most major of the competitors.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I think Cody Rhodes has a place in wrestling history that you can't deny. And I think if he beats Roman at WrestleMania just like 40, someone I... then he definitely solidifies that. But I don't think they're going to beat Roman at WrestleMania.
Do you know what wrestler, you know, met up with a couple of his friends and a rich dude in the South and made a promotion? You know a wrestler did that one time?
Which wrestler?
Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes
rolled up with Jim Crockett, a couple of his homies, created Jim Crockett Promotions. They had a connection with NWA Wrestling. And then Jim Crockett Promotions, you know what Jim Crockett Promotions became? WCW. So
yeah.
He's his father reincarnated.
It's really interesting too, because towards the end of his AEW run, the fans had started booing him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like subtly shading towards a heel turn, and then he just left the company. And a lot of people, I think, speculate that they wanted him to turn heel and he didn't want to do it, and that's why he left. I don't think that's why he left, but he's much better as a babyface in WWE than he
absolutely.
Ever was.
Absolutely, just like his dad. His dad never was a heel. His dad was always the one getting jumped by the Four Horsemen. They were jumping him, Ric Flair.
I mean, he was a heel.
Cody? Dusty?
No, Dusty.
When was Dusty a heel?
Dusty was always a heel.
No, Dusty was the baby face. Rick was the heel.
He was a big time heel.
Dusty Rhodes was not a heel.
He was a big time heel.
When was he a heel?
I believe he was a heel, Ferris.
Yeah, he was majority of the time like he was a heel.
Dusty Rhodes a heel?
Yes, he was majority of the time.
That's
like
Ric Flair. Ric Flair was the heel.
Yeah, he was a heel too, but Dusty Rhodes was definitely a heel.
When was now Dusty was not a heel.
He was a heel. Well, at least
no, he wasn't.
I've seen. I think he was a heel. Yeah.
No, bro. The heels were always Harley and Rick.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever the case is, let's not spend 10 minutes arguing this.
Okay.
Caleb, what are your thoughts on Cody and the storyline going on right now?
I wanted him to win last year. I'm sick of Roman Reigns. I've never liked Roman Reigns. I think he's completely overpushed.
His entrance
overrated.
Takes like 20 minutes.
Drives me nuts.
You're not supposed to like him, guys. You're not supposed to like him.
I know, but it's not like I don't like him because he's a heel. Like, because I never judge wrestlers on whether they're here or, you know, the face of the heel. I like him because I like him, you know? That's not why I don't like him. I don't like him because he sucks. I mean, that's just what we're playing. He sucks. Like, his moves are garbage.
I echo those sentiments pretty much.
I mean, his special move is a punch. I mean, that's his finisher.
And a spear.
Again, the two worst ones you can have. The
just said you love Goldberg because of it.
The simplest finishers you can have. which attributes to why he sucks.
So why do you like Goldberg?
I do like Goldberg.
But he has a spear.
I know. I like Goldberg for a different reason, because I think he had the look. His
your entrance, next.
His entrance was amazing. I think he is the greatest entrance ever. Like I said, I just connected with it as a kid, and just more nostalgia for him. But I recognize he wasn't a good wrestler. He was an unsafe wrestler. You know, I recognize that.
Go talk to Bret Hart.
Yeah. Yeah. I recognize he does. He's not, you know, a good technical, but that's never been my thing. I don't have to like you because you're a good technical wrestler. I more judge you on your look. I judge you on your promos. I judge you on, I judge you on just the cool factor. If I think you're cool, then I'm probably gonna like you. And I don't think Roman, I think he's lame as hell. His moves are lame as hell. He's not good on the mic. And I really want him to lose. So I want Cody to win. I kind of agree with you, Adelia. I think that's why they're going to make this two night, you know, him wrestling on two different nights. They're going to give him the win the first night, and there's no way whoever wins, they're not going to win back to back. You know, one's going to win one night, one's going to win the second night, and that's how it's going to go. And it's probably going to go where they win the tag team match, but he's going to lose the title again. And it's going to be Roman continuing.
I think that tag team match is very interesting with the way that they set it up tonight in that 40-minute long opening segment on SmackDown that was incredibly long. If if the Bloodline wins the tag match, then I think Cody's beating Roman.
Mm-hmm.
But if Cody and Seth win the tag match, there's no way Roman's losing.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. It's like neither one of them is going to win back to
back. I think it's going to be Bloodline rules in night number two, where all hell breaks loose. It's going to be Bloodline rules. The Rock is going to win. They're going to lose the tag match. Like, The Rock and Roman are going to win the tag match, which I'm fine with. And if you make the Bloodline rules match, like, because he said it's Bloodline rules, like, you know, Jay may be the ref. You know, there's no rules.
Jay's not in the Bloodline anymore.
It's Jimmy. Damn. I thought I finally had it down, but I didn't.
No.
They've been tricking me for 15 years, guys. 15 years. I've been tricked. So Jim, yeah, like I think you guys are right. They're gonna split the matches.
I did laugh very much on the SmackDown tonight when Rock said he'll have Solo sing the national anthem.
that would be hilarious. fun fact, they don't actually sing the national anthem at WWE pay-per-views. They sing America the Beautiful. You know why?
Started on that.
You know why? Because Vince McMahon hates Star Spangled Banner, apparently. I didn't know this. Which is funny to me. But, hold on. Yeah, I can't.
I don't think The Rock is on Roman's side.
Nah.
I don't. I think there's a betrayal that's going to happen, and they will have a match.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's got anything to do with the outcome of Cody beating Roman at this point.
Because The Rock is out. The Rock is out for The Rock. Yep. He ain't out for nobody else but The Rock. The Rock is new El Numero Uno. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah.
That's what gives me hope that, you know, Cody can win, because maybe he interferes some way, you know, it goes the wrong way, or
screws Roman.
Yeah.
So, nah, but here's the thing, man. I want him finished, though. I want Cody to beat him clean. If he beats him clean.
I don't think Cody's going to beat him clean.
Ah, man, I want him to beat him clean.
I think Cody should beat him clean, but I don't think Cody's going to beat him clean, especially if Rock and Roman tag match.
It might be where the Bloodline comes in to help, like Roman, like always, you know, it's...
That's beating him clean.
Jay and Uso, or Jay, what's the other name?
So Jay is with Cody.
Yeah, no, the other brother.
Jimmy.
No, the other one.
Jay.
Solo.
No, Solo. That's
Solo. Oh, yeah.
Him come out, they help him, but then The Rock, you know, interferes with them, type of thing.
Solo's like a bootleg Umaga.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah. I miss Umaga so much. I loved Umaga. Umaga was awesome.
Umaga the one that danced, or was that Rikishi?
That's Rikishi.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Rikishi.
Can't keep them all straight in my head.
Rikishi is Solo, Jimmy, and Jay's dad.
Yeah, I knew
Umaga
that.
Is Roman's brother?
No. Wait.
Rosie's
Roman's brother.
Yeah, but I think, isn't Umaga also his brother?
Maybe.
I'll look it up. You talk.
Probably. Yeah, just look up the family tree. The family tree's right there.
They're probably all brothers.
No,
or
no.
Maybe cousin.
Because I know Rodney, who is Yokozuna, is a cousin. Shout out to Yokozuna.
He is a cousin of Roman Reigns.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. He's
Umaga, cousin. Yeah.
He is the uncle of the Usos in Solo Sikoa and a cousin of Roman Reigns.
Oh, he's Rikishi's brother.
He's Rikishi's brother.
Rikishi's brother.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Rikishi's brother. Cool. Nice.
His mother was the sister of the Wild Samoans.
Yes.
And his two older brothers were the Tonga Kid and Rikishi.
Yes. Rikishi and the Tonga Kid, I believe, were the head shrinkers early on in WWE. Yeah. Umaga, yeah. So, okay. I know we talked about Monday Wrestling. I think we all agree that we love Cody Rhodes. I want to go around. What have been some of your favorite moments watching wrestling over the years? Moments that like pop into your head right away. Let's go with you, Adelia, first.
Well, Sting's on my mind this weekend because this weekend is his retirement match. And I really loved watching Sting in AEW. He is doing crazy shit. Like, he's diving off of balconies onto platforms of tables and all kinds of shit. And he did something just the other week where he was in a tornado tag match with Darby Allin against... it was when they won the tag team championships, actually. Against Big Bill and Ricky Starks. And he climbed up... They're in the arena. He climbed up the stairs of the arena, and you're like, where is he going? Because the match is down here. And he climbed up onto the balcony over the entranceway to get onto the floor, and he just dove off it at them. Like, they didn't even look like they were ready. It was pretty crazy. And then, yeah, Jeremy's right. Sting coming down from the rafters on Dynamite this week one last time. It was pretty cool to see. I'm really interested in what they're going to do at Revolution, because he said he's going to make it very memorable for his last match. So, Sting and Darby Allin versus the Young Bucks for the Tag Team Championships, and that better be the main event, because if it's not, I think everybody's going to be mad.
My favorite Sting moment was when he was wearing a Sting mask and he punched Kurt Angle, took off the Sting mask, and had the Sting face paint.
Oh, he's done that a few times, yeah. He had the Sting mask on, and then it's actually been him, yeah.
Yeah, he did that in TNA first, and that made me laugh. There was a moment where he...
that in WCW first, actually.
Probably. Oh, yeah. But, he did. Yeah, you're right. My favorite thing is, with Sting is, it was when the Dark Knight was released. I know you two bringing up the Dark Knight, y'all have strong feelings. One of you loves it, the other one hates it. He made Sting a little bit jokery.
No, he made was Sting.
He's yeah, Joker. He was. The, he was
Joker's yeah, Sting is fun.
Joker's Sting is fun. And that always made me laugh. I also liked him in Main Event Mafia, where they convinced him to join, and he like took, like, he got rid of the face paint, and he, you know, you never, like, he only had his face, was pretty good. Caleb, moments in wrestling over the time that stick to your mind when it comes to your head.
Probably the first WrestleMania I watched, paid for, and was able to watch all the way through, because I never watched any of the pay-per-views, because my dad never get the pay-per-views.
Same.
Growing up. So this was the first actual pay-per-view I was able to watch, and that was the WrestleMania between Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels.
25.
It's one of the best matches of all time, and that match really sticks out to me, because it's just this whole, dark versus light whole angle that they had going, followed that whole storyline leading up to that. Obviously Streak was still on the line, and it was a fantastic match. I mean, now I was like, that just really sticks out to me. It's like, yeah, that was one of where I really, really was getting into it, and again, like, that was awesome. That was an awesome match.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing up that WrestleMania, because so that WrestleMania months prior at the Royal Rumble, a moment that sticks vividly in my mind was, so John Cena is against Umaga in a last man standings match. And John Cena chokes out Umaga with the ropes, and he chokes him out. And shout out to Umaga, man. Shout out to Edward Fatu. God rest your soul. Genius. He sticks out his tongue just a little to make it seem like he's dead, right? Now imagine Child Ferris watching John Cena choke out a man with some ropes. And what's the first thing Child Ferris thinks of Dilly? What do you think he thinks?
That he was dead.
John Cena killed a man. John Cena just killed a man on pay-per-view. He just killed a man. And that was the day I was like, you know what? I'm not a big fan of John Cena no more. I think John Cena is a horrible person. He's a horrible person. He just killed a man. And I was distraught, right? But when I was distraught, the Royal Rumble, it was the Royal Rumble in San Antonio. And it gets to the end of the Royal Rumble. Shawn Michaels and Taker have a match. They have like a 15 to 20 minute match at the end of the Royal Rumble. You know what I mean?
Ferris.
No, that's not how Umaga died. No. He died, I think, cardiac arrest, unfortunately. Gotta rush your show, Umaga. And then Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker have a match that's pretty damn good at the end of the Royal Rumble, Adelia, that that set up the next year's WrestleMania, because Shawn Michaels then gets thrown over the ropes, and then Taker goes to WrestleMania. He beats Batista, and then Shawn Michaels loses to John Cena. But then the following year, they have that great match, or like a year or two later, they have that great match at WrestleMania, Dark versus Light, and it was just amazing. The chemistry, just two of the greatest performers of all time. The Undertaker's the reason I don't believe zombies should be slow walkers, because growing up, I was like, yo, that guy's dead, and he's running around. A zombie should be running around. Okay.
See, the Undertaker was the guy that was I had to suspend disbelief the most with, because it was like, he's not dead.
But I felt the same way. That's why I didn't like WWF. I didn't like all the fantastical characters at WWF. I didn't like Kane. I didn't like Undertaker. I didn't like those type of crazy characters.
You didn't like the Ministry of Darkness?
I just didn't like it. I just didn't
like the corporate ministry.
Like crazy stuff. And that, I got an appreciation for it. It's like, okay, these guys are actually, you know, good wrestlers. They're good, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I started to really like them later on when I grew up. But as a kid, I just did not like any of that stuff. I just like the regular, you're a wrestler and that you're just like a, you know, an exaggerated character of yourself.
Yeah, I remember when Kane set MVP on fire.
Oh, Jesus.
It was an Inferno match. You remember the Inferno matches, Caleb?
Yeah.
And the first Inferno match was him and MVP, and he lit MVP on fire. And I'm like, they lit MVP on fire. That's crazy. That's wild. Yeah, man, but it was wild. So another moment, let's get another moment for each one of us. I was a big fan of when Eddie Guerrero won his title. Fun fact, he won it in San Francisco, which and the stadium he won it in still stands. It's the Cow Palace in San Francisco at No Mercy. He beat Brock Lesnar. It was one of the best moments I ever watched. God rest his soul, man. I miss Eddie Guerrero, man. I miss him so much. And the reason I love pro wrestling, Adelia, is it's the only medium that's made me laugh, made me happy, it's made me cry. Regularly. When he died and the tribute videos come out, and then when Dusty Rhodes died, and then when Roddy died, man, it was gut wrenching, you know.
Yeah.
It was gut wrenching. It was
one of the most moving things that I've ever seen is the stuff that I've seen from the AEW tribute show to Brody Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Like he died, and they spent the next week. Screw the storyline, screw the scheduled matches, screw our plans. We're just going to spend the whole show dedicated to Brody Lee. And it was incredible.
Yeah, that's when like, I think Jeremy just put in the chat. When they confirmed Bray Wyatt's death.
Bray's death was big.
Oh my God. I kind of like tailed off on the modern day wrestling. But there was always a wrestler that I always kept my eye on. And that was Bray Wyatt. When he was the weird cult leader with, you know, Brody Lee and Eric Rowan.
He had a great, it was a great entrance. It was a great.
It's one of the greatest entrances, Caleb, ever. Oh my God. It's perfection. Whoever said, you know what, you should do this. Either it was him or someone in creative. I don't know who it is. Whoever did it, I thank you. It's one of the greatest entrances of all time. And I think I remember once where it was WrestleMania and it was pitch black. And all you saw is the iPhone lights and his little lantern and the weird musicians with the weird masks. And they're playing him and he's slow walking, like you can slow walk his brother.
Mask, that was a great
God. You savor this awesome moment. And here's the great thing about him, Adelia, is he survived the creative BS. Mm-hmm. He lost a lot of big matches. And a lot of times fans would throw you away. Because you're like, are you really that serious? When you get put into a big program, we know where this is coming. You know? We know you're going to lose. And he survived it. And his, I'm going to be with you. One of the greatest WrestleMania matches I've ever watched. It wasn't really a match. It was what he did with John Cena during the pandemic. When
that was amazing. As something that we've never, besides, obviously they had the Undertaker, AJ Styles, that kind of movie-like match, and then mm-hmm. they did it again with the, John Cena and Bray Wyatt. Yeah, it was definitely different to see. It was weird. Because just how it all came together, but yeah, definitely.
It was amazing, man. It was amazing. It was amazing. Wrestlers, man, they always go too soon. They always go too soon.
They do.
One of my favorite stables of all time, Hart Dynasty. Four of the five members are no longer with us. You know, Brian Pillman, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, the British Bulldog, Owen Hart, all passed away. And one of the greatest stables of all time, one of the greatest units of wrestling of all time, two of my favorite wrestlers of all time, and Owen Hart and Bret Hart, love them. You know, it's them two, Kurt Angle, Mick Foley's my number one wrestler of all time. He's the reason I've never wanted to become a wrestler, because if I did become a wrestler, he's the thing I tell people, like, the reason Mick Foley isn't, I never became a wrestler because of Mick Foley, is because if I did become a wrestler, I'm going to become Mick Foley.
Yeah.
And so then I would hear interviews of him in post wrestling years. And he's like, yeah, I can't move. Like, my body's destroyed. And I was like, that would have been me. Because growing up, I only was going to wrestle one way. And I was going to throw myself into a bunch of tacks. You know what I mean? You know, like I'm going to chuck me off of a building. You know what I mean? Like, do it. You know? That was going to be me. And I didn't, because Mick Foley was like, don't do that. Don't, my body hurts. Don't do that. And it was like, he, shout out to Mick Foley. What are some wrestlers over the time, Adelia, that you kind of, these are my favorite wrestlers?
My favorite wrestlers are ones that are going right now, because I don't really remember all that much from that year I watched in high school, and I didn't watch in between. So my favorite wrestlers right now are guys like Will Ospreay, who I think is the best wrestler in the world. Kenny Omega. I love the Lucha Brothers. I think they're incredible.
Oh, yeah, they're good. Yeah, they're good.
They're one of the first AEW pay-per-view I watched was All Out 2021, which was CM Punk's first pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And there was a cage match between the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers for the tag titles, where the Lucha Brothers won. That's probably my favorite cage match I've ever watched. I love guys like Hiromu Takahashi and Kazuchika Okada from New Japan Pro Wrestling. Okada's mm-hmm. apparently now coming to AEW, which is exciting for me. So yeah, those are my favorites.
Tetsuya Naito.
Naito's great too. He's the champ in New Japan right now.
Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Yep. Samoa Joe's great as well. Current AEW champ. Swerve Strickland.
Swerve.
I really hope Swerve wins this weekend. I don't think he's going to, but I really hope he does.
Love Swerve. I'm kind of mad WWE let Swerve go.
Yeah.
Bad decision.
AEW really got a star in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he beats Samoa Joe and Hangman Page for the title this weekend. MJF is also fun. I miss MJF being on Dynamite Weekly, mm-hmm. but he needs to heal up.
Yo, Samoa Joe being the only Samoan not related to The Rock or The Bloodline is one of the funniest storylines I've ever seen in my entire life. we're all related.
Samoa Joe never winning the WWE title was a damn crime. It sounds like that definitely was a crime.
Yo, so he had a great program with Brock Lesnar. Yeah, that culminated in the greatest pay-per-view name of all time, Great Balls of Fire. So him and Brock's program was pretty dope. Cuz you know, cuz you would like Samoa Joe beating up Brock Lesnar makes sense. Like it kind of makes sense. Like you know
Let
what
me
mean?
Answer Jeremy's question real quick. Yeah. Adelia, how much do you cringe at the Swerve and Hangman deathmatch? That was the most brutal, horrific, disgusting match I've ever seen, but it was also so good that it made my top 10 last year.
Damn. I gotta watch these matches.
Hangman Page drank Swerve's blood in that match.
Oh, that's just disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, this is a feud that is gut brutal. I mean, Swerve broke into Hangman's house and basically cut a promo on his sleeping baby. So Hangman was pissed, and then Swerve beat him in a death match at that was at Wrestle Dream, right, Jeremy? Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Still reminds me of the time where Triple H assaulted Randy Orton in his house and threw Randy Orton out of the window and into the front lawn. You never seen?
Was that a Full Gear? And the first match was at Wrestle Dream.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
You said yes, Adelia.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the death match was Full Gear and the first match was at Wrestle Dream. But yeah. I could be remembering that.
Nothing will ever beat Brian Pillman shooting at Steve Austin. He got a gun. Bang, bang, bang. Cut the cameras. That's true. Triple H was the face, Adelia. Triple H was the face.
That's crazy. And that's he utterly broke insane. So, I will say that my memories of the little bit of the wrestling that I watched with that involved Triple H, I don't like Triple H.
Nah, like no one likes Triple H. He was a horrible person as a wrestler. But yeah, so what happened was the week before, Randy DDT Stephanie in the ring. And he's like, Triple H is like handcuffed to the, he can't do nothing. So he's handcuffed. And as she's like unconscious, Randy like kisses her. And he like, so this was like Randy Viper Randy, where he like shaved his head and he kind of like had his movements like snaky. And he like he kisses her after he knocked her out. And he like slithers out of the ring all like creepily. Cause Randy, man, he knew what to do. You know, like Randy always committed. He always had an attempted murder charge when he was in a feud. He tried to kill John Cena once with, like, pyro. So Triple H breaks into his house, Adelia. The face breaks into his house and chases Randy around. So Randy, every time Randy's, like, wife had to be in a program, his wife was never in a program because they always got an actress, you know? So Triple H has a sledgehammer and he like catches Randy's wife and he said, "Where is he?" And he's like, she's threatening him and she like points in the direction where he goes. And all you see is like Randy jump out from a closet. he jumps out of a closet and attacks Triple H and they fight in his living room. They break his table and then Triple H then like throws Randy into a wall, breaking a wall. And then he hits him with a TV and it was great. And then all you see is they cut to a camera outside. You're like, oh, why are we outside now? All you see is Randy Orton gets thrown through the window, Adelia, and he goes through some glass and onto the front lawn. And I'm like, and then all you see is Triple H jump out of the window, and he just starts beating up Randy in the front lawn. And then the cops tackle Triple H. And they arrest Triple H.
Crazy.
They arrest Crazy. Triple H and hawk him off to jail. It was awesome. It was awesome, man. So Caleb, man, one more moment that pops in your mind that you loved, and then we'll end the show off with our top wrestlers of all time.
We sort of started already doing that.
That's true, but a former.
So Caleb, how about you give us both? Your moment and your top wrestlers.
Oh, well, I guess my top, well, I'll start with top wrestlers. My top. I was like I said, I was always WCW. I mean, honestly, the guys that show up in the movie Ranked Rumble, Those were my favorite guys. That's good. I loved that movie when I was young. Obviously, I know it's not a great movie, but I still loved it. I thought it was funny. So yeah, all those guys, you know, Goldberg, Booker T, Sting, you know, Diamond Dallas Page, I loved. Those guys that were in that movie, I loved it. Growing up, you know, when I went back and watched, you know, obviously when WWE Network was there, watched a whole bunch of other stuff, and that's when I gained appreciation of, you know, The Rock and Stone Cold, because I didn't really watch WWF. And then they really became like, oh my God, like these were awesome guys. And I wish I watched it live at that time. Especially their feud that they had, like it's one like great promos. And that's, you know, my moment of the, just that whole, I think it was at WrestleMania, the Rock versus Stone Cold feud. That was a great promo that they played right before the match, and it just got you, get you're so hyped, like, oh, this is awesome. And yeah, the match was great. That was definitely a moment I had to go back and watch to appreciate. So definitely, you know, obviously Stone Cold Rock, you know, great, you know, greatest of all time to me. And then, you know, obviously current, you know, like I said, I love all the TNA stuff, you know, we've been talking about. Loved AJ Styles. I always thought AJ Styles was the best. That's why I came back when he came back. Well, when he entered in WWE, because I always thought he was the best wrestler out there. And and just currently, and you know, obviously, I'm like everybody else. I'm very much into the LA Knight. I think he's awesome. I think he's a great mixture of, you know, The Rock and Stone Cold. You know, so I'm definitely loving him. You know, and loving a lot of what they've been doing. So that's why I say my favorite guys are.
Mm-hmm. Adelia.
Ferris.
Your wrestler's list.
I gave it to you already.
You just gave it. It's your turn.
Oh, you just, wait, what?
You asked her before you asked me.
Yeah. And I said it's going to be guys from this era that I'm watching now. Will Ospreay.
Oh, yeah. Omega, my bad.
All them.
No, because yeah, we went into a story mode about Swerve. No, because we went into a story about Swerve, and I was like, oh, story about Swerve. Yeah. Shout out to Will Ospreay. Or, you know, or what Seth Rollins affectionately calls him, that broke bitch.
He's not broke anymore.
No, he ain't. Yo, Seth Rollins hates that man. He hates him.
It's funny.
I don't know if it's real or not, because I don't know what's real or not with Seth Rollins anymore. I don't. Like, he be in an interview, and I'm like, are you telling the truth? Do you, I'm confused here.
I'll tell you what seems to be real is Seth Rollins' hate of CM Punk.
Yeah, I think that's real.
That's real.
I don't know about
the Ospreay hate.
Yeah, I think the Ospreay hate is, like, fake, where it's like, I think he was just friends with him, I think. But I don't know. That shit is hilarious.
I don't know. Shout out to Seth and Becky.
Shout out to Sethy. Or Beth. Beth?
No.
Beth. No. Beth.
Seth and Becky. Just say Seth and Becky. Nah, we don't need to make a portmanteau of their names.
Nah, man, why not? We had Brangelina.
And I hated that. I hate portmanteaus of people's names.
Why?
Because they're terrible.
So you won't accept Crunt? For John Krasinski and Emily Blunt?
No, I will not.
Okay.
Ferris, your favorite wrestlers. We've been trying to get to this.
It's Mick Foley, number one. As with Mick Foley, he had. Okay, so there was Mick Foley. There's Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
There was Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Dude Love. Mm-hmm. I could say my top four wrestlers are those four guys.
What's up?
I could say that, but Mick Foley's number one. I loved his evolution. I love how he didn't stay stagnant. My favorite is the introduction of Dude Love, where Steve Austin's like, I need a partner, and he's like, hey yo, Steve-O, it's your main man, Dude Love here, and I'm coming to save the day. You wait for me, Steve-O. It was amazing. So Mick Foley, love Bret Hart. I love Bret Hart. Bret Hart as a face is good. Bret Hart as a heel is better. Bret Hart, when he was the most hated man in America, was the greatest thing in the world because he was also the most beloved man in Canada. And I don't know if anyone knows this, right? But one of the greatest pay-per-views I've ever watched was, man, I miss WWE Network. I miss it so much. You would watch the inner houses. You would go to your inner houses and be like, oh, let's go do the inner houses.
Hi, Brandy.
There's an inner house called In Your House Stampede. They do this in your house in Calgary. It's during the Calgary Rodeo. So they called it In Your House Stampede. And they do this like six-man tag match with the Hart Dynasty, who are the bad guys, against Steve Austin and a couple of his like mates. It was like Steve, Goldust, the Road Warriors, and like the Road Warriors and some other person. It's like a 10-man tag. You know, the Hart Dynasty, it was Brett, Jim, Davey, Brian Pillman. It was like, I think it was an 8-man tag, but then. And they're booing Steve Austin so bad, right? It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my entire life. So Steve Austin, so the Hart family sitting at ringside, and they were told to intervene on occasion. So Brett's older brother gets a little overzealous and it hits Steve Austin for real a couple of times. And Steve is mad, like, yo, what the hell going on? And they had to take Steve Adelia off TV during the match because they wanted to make sure everyone know that Steve is the good guy. Steve is the good guy and Brett's the bad guy. But the booing was so bad. You know what I mean? So yeah, you're right, Brian. Bret Hart. Yeah, Bret Hart is my favorite. AJ Styles is another one of my favorites. Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels was damn good at his job. Love DX. Shawn Michaels is the reason I believe people can become good people. Because you hear stories of people who worked with Shawn Michaels in the 90s. Like, just talk to Michael Cole. Talk to Michael Cole. Like, hey, Michael, what's your opinion on Shawn Michaels in the 90s? Michael Cole hated that man's guts. Hated his guts. You say, all right, so, Michael, what about now? So he's like, I love Shawn. I love him. You know? So it's good. It's good. Yeah, man, those are my guys. Nowadays, more modern. Bray Wyatt was one. But you know, God rest his soul. Matt Cardona. I affectionately call him Zack Ryder, one of the most important wrestlers of the modern time. So sad to Zack Ryder. Love Zack Ryder. That's my boy.
Matt Cardona just re-signed with GCW, I believe.
And CM Punk, but a specific version of CM Punk.
Pipe bomb?
No.
Okay.
That's not the best version of CM Punk. I'll take this to my grave. Straight Edge Society CM Punk was the greatest version of CM Punk of all time.
That man. Okay, I don't know any of that.
Oh yeah, he was on SmackDown.
Yeah.
He was a bad guy where he just went after people, Adelia, were just like, he would call out, he was pious. He was judgy.
Harold agrees with you.
Yeah, he was pious. He was judgy. He was holier than thou. He was the best. His way is the best way. He once berated a fan, Adelia, drinking a beer with his children. he berated him on SmackDown, where he called him a blight on society, basically. And he said, you know, you can't believe you're drinking yourself to death in front of your children, and your children have to like, right? Like, it was bad. Like, he was like heat. Perfect. That CM Punk is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
All right.
I have to shout her out. Raquel Rodriguez is my favorite on the female wrestlers. Love Raquel Rodriguez. She obviously from, you know, Mexican, from Texas. She does the Tejana bomb. I love that. So yeah, love it. I just want to get a shout out to
her. Oh man, we didn't give a lot of love to the ladies tonight, man. I feel
we
bad.
Will have to do this again. We will have to do this again and focus more on the female side of wrestling.
True, man. Because shout out to Miss Elizabeth. You know what I mean?
Corey Wilson is one I remember. Corey Wilson,
yeah. Shout out to, you know what? Shout out to Billy Kidman. That's all I got to say. Shout out to you, man. Shout out to you, Billy Kidman. But yeah, I digress. Melina. Shout out to Melina.
Oh, yeah. I love Melina.
Yeah, Melina. That's
Justin, that's my God. I'm not pulling that on screen.
I just vomited theoretically in my mind. That's
yeah, China's remember great. China as well.
China, God rest her soul.
When I first started watching wrestling for that assignment back in high school, the women's side of wrestling was not great.
Mud wrestling. Bra and panty matches.
Yellow matches. Yeah. Stuff like that. And I didn't like it at all. But I was very glad to see when I started watching AEW that there's some seriousness took to women's wrestling now in all companies.
Yeah. Trish Stratus being sexually harassed live on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did bring up the Knockouts and the Beautiful People, though.
We did bring up the Knockouts. Yeah.
Velvet Sky, Angelina Love.
That they had
at Madison Rain. Nice. Hey, and fun fact, one of the members of the Beautiful People, when it was a four-person group,
mm-hmm.
Lacey Von Erich.
Von Erich, yeah.
She was Carrie's daughter. So shout out to her. Shout out to Gail Kim.
But the way the Beautiful People got in that ring,
okay, all right, Caleb, we're trying to be.
We keep talking about this. We'll be talking all night, and we're already an hour and 20.
All right, Adelia,
wrap it up, Ferris.
All right, Caleb, where can people find you, my man?
Find me at NFLCat22 on Instagram and Twitter/X, and you can find me on this on the Highlights channel, doing Good Friends Bad Rivals every Friday at 3:00.
Adelia.
The Highlights channel, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific, starting 11, me and Snark review the English Premier League. There are links to all of these channels in the description of this episode. Thursdays on this channel, 3 p.m. Pacific, the Rewatchers Council, Ferris, Snark, and I going through Buffy the Vampire Slayer, episode by episode, reviewing all 144 episodes. We're up to the premiere of season 2. We got delayed this week because I couldn't record because I got a prepare to evacuate order because of a grass fire. Thankfully, didn't have to actually evacuate, but so we were off this week, but we'll be back next week. And this show, Fridays, 8 p.m. Pacific on this channel. Do not miss it. Ferris.
Guys, my name is Ferris Maldonado. Find me at Ferris Maldonado on Twitter. Every Friday, 3:00 Pacific on our sports channels, Good Friends, Better Rivals, like Caleb said, as well as here. 8:00 Pacific, 11:00 Eastern on Opening Table. So there's that. And then coming up on Saturday, live, 2:00, Scrum Down. Me, Adelia, gonna watch some rugby. So boom, shake the room. Can't wait.
Yep.
All right. On that note, everyone, thank you guys so much for joining us. Make sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We're at 800.
Yeah, Brandy's right. We're going to be doing a watch along of the Oscars on this channel on March 10th, but it's not going to be the men of the crew. It's going to be me, Brandy, and Star. We'll be critiquing the fashion and watching the ceremony at the same time. What on earth are they wearing? Oscars watch along.
I love fashion.
I know, but this is a girls only stream.
Well, I also agreed to be on someone else's stream for the Oscars.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so, you know. And also, too, I think we should also give space for the women of the world in our channel to have a time of their lives. So
we're going to have fun. We're going to have a lot of fun.
You know, yes. On that note, everyone, we're at 855 subscribers. Hit that like, hit that subscribe button. Let's get to 860. From 860, let's get to 900. We're only 45 away, guys. 45 away. So share the channel.
And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/LGR_network. $1 a month gets you into the Discord where you can talk about stuff like wrestling with us in the voice chat or in any of the channels. And you get some other perks if you subscribe on higher tiers. So check that out as well.
As well as we're also live streaming on our Twitch channel. You know, go over there to the Twitch. Hit that follow button at twitch.tv/LGR_network. All I really want you is hit that follow button. If you want to hit that subscribe button, thank you so much, and we deeply appreciate it as well. But all I need you is hit that follow button. So on that note, everyone, have a wonderful day, wonderful night. Stay safe, and make sure when you're doing a camel clutch, you make sure you don't actually break their back. Keep your squat level. Peace.